This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. Welcome. Hopefully, everybody had a great weekend. Beautiful Monday out there. Much to discuss. We will get into everything that's gone on with the Mariners and the Seahawks. Cover it all. We've got Kurt Casale, one of the newest members of your Seattle Mariners, joining us at 2:45 for our player spotlight. Ryan Roland-Smith will join us at 3 o'clock for his weekly appearance. And John Morosi's floating appearance continues to float. He will be with us today at 4 o'clock. I don't even know what day he was originally supposed
Thursday,
to
be. Wasn't it?
Is it Thursdays?
Thursdays. Seahawks football on Thursday, though.
Yeah. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear yourself?
Just want to make sure, because there's this whole complicated explanation about the new microphones.
Yeah.
Mike was like, "Now I don't want you to be alarmed, Dave."
He was talking to you like you're 95 years
the
old.
The volume button. Well, there's reason for that.
Yeah, Dave, there's going to be a
technology.
There's going to be a button that you need to push, Dave. You just push it, and then it'll say on, and that means you're live.
By the way, Mike, you'll be proud of me. Over the weekend, Bob, I put my plane ticket in my Apple Wallet.
Oh boy,
how about that?
Wow.
Thank you, Brady.
And everything went smoothly from there, right?
Yeah.
On your plane
it
trip.
It worked, yeah. I was like, I got to get there early because I got to print out my boarding pass. And Rabel's like, why would you do that? And I'm getting lectured from an even older man. And, it worked out. So.
Oh, good for you. You're making advancements. You're
my
taking
wonderful,
steps.
Wonderful flight home from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Had to get up at 5 in the morning. No, 4:30.
Should have called
then,
me. I was up.
Yeah, you were getting ready to go to bed.
I was going to bed.
Well, yeah, it was 1:30 your time, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, plenty to talk about today. I came home and was disappointed to watch the Mariners go down to Texas, but...
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah.
We'll get into that in a few minutes, but let's talk briefly about what went on in that Seahawks game, which is, you know, it's a preseason game. It's game one of the preseason. There are very few starters on either team playing, facing each other. It's nobody's game planning for the other team. It's always... You know, it started out pretty ugly, pretty offensively, defensively. Like, ugh. What I do find funny, though, is on social media, I tweet, I'm like, thank goodness this is a preseason game. This is pretty ugly, just to start. You're just commenting on what you see, and immediately, like, calm down, it's just preseason. I'm like, I don't recall saying anything other than, yeah, this is preseason. It's ugly. It's not, nobody's making a judgment going, oh, that's it. Season's over. This team stinks. Everybody's terrible. What a disaster. It's just people are on edge. There are some people that are just on edge that think if you say anything other than, you know, hey, it's all going to be okay, that you're being way too negative.
Yeah.
So it started out ugly. It looked like a preseason game. That's how it looks.
Yeah. Lots of missed tackles.
Oh, the tackling was not
assignments.
Cool. That's one that I feel like, yeah, no game plan, backups, starters, what have you. That's one of those things you control. That's something that you really shouldn't have a problem with, because that's a basic fundamental skill of football is tackling.
Yeah.
And that was not pretty. But
when you don't do it for a while, it can be, I mean, some of these college guys haven't done it since and it was in college. And now all of a sudden you're up against professionals. So, yeah, another thing just was kind of interesting, because we're going to talk about Boye Mafe at some point, because he had a really good game. He played really well. But I saw him on a kickoff return and he was just kind of wandering around like he didn't really know what to do. And I'm like, he hasn't played special teams since junior high school, probably. So, you know, that's just... You know, you come to expect that you're going to see some things like that. But on the other hand, the only reason I bring it up is because he had such a good game.
Yeah, he was one of the people that popped, that stood out.
Yeah, that, you know, that's just kind of how it's going to be. It's like running backs having to block. You know, they don't block in college, because if you're a good running back, you get the ball every down. So
you're going for 6-7 yards a carry at that level.
Yeah. I did like that. Before we get into it, Ken Walker gave Witherspoon a concussion. That part I appreciated. I really liked that.
Because Witherspoon did nada, zip, zilch, and nothing here. And then he went to Pittsburgh and didn't play for quite a while once he went over there. But then when he did play, all of a sudden he was a decent player.
he put his head down. You could hear the clack from the booth. And all of a sudden he's up on a knee and they took him off the field. So, but yeah, it was kind of what you would expect out of a preseason game. You know, the thing to me is I don't think we got a much clearer picture of who's going to be the quarterback. They both look good.
And that's the biggest question going into this. I mean, there's certainly more than just that question, but that's the most pressing. Who's going to be the one running the show on offense? And for Pete Carroll's part, here's what he said he saw out there from the quarterbacks.
Both quarterbacks were efficient. Really, Geno could have been 10 for 10. You know, he had two drops in them, and Noah's got to stay in bounds on the ball on the sidelines, and he hits them all. And we moved the ball around pretty good with Drew also. So can't wait to get after the film and all that.
Yeah, it's I mean, they both look good within what they were asked to do and what they were going up against. I mean, it's I thought Drew made the mistake by all accounts. He said it himself on, you know, when he got hit from behind and fumbled the ball, that was on him. I thought if you remove that, if I was, you know, leaning one way or the other, I thought I was a little more impressed with what he did. And again, considering he's going up with a majority, I know a ton of starters are not playing, but he had very few playing with him. I thought he looked pretty good. You know, nobody, as you like to say, blew my skirt up, but I thought they both looked efficient in what they were being asked to do. And I don't know that either one really distinguished themselves there. It still feels like you're kind of in the same spot you were going in.
Yeah, I agree. I'd say, though, also Drew Locke threw that seam route to Colby Parkinson. Mm-hmm. You got to catch that, you know, and that makes him 12 for 15 and a touchdown. So, you know, that was Drew that threw that, I believe.
Yeah.
So
he ended up with two touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
What he ended?
Yeah. Yeah, but Geno, you know, he ran for one, and I thought Geno looked amazing on the run. You know, he threw on the run really well and seemed to find his check downs and threw some accurate passes. I would say, you know, there was a couple of times where Drew Locke had completions, but they were maybe just a little bit off. He could lead his receiver a little bit, but that guy's really athletic. He doesn't really look like it, but when you watch, he rolled out to his left to avoid pressure and just snapped off a throw to out in the flat that was really nice. I mean, you can see the athleticism.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's. I certainly didn't walk away from it going, oh, boy, what a disaster that was. You know, again, I don't know that they've got their franchise guy sitting there. I think, you know, it's a battle of placeholders, personally. That, for me, has not changed. But I'm very curious to see how they, you know, so do we think Drew is going to start this next game? And he'll play the first half with the ones and they'll rotate? Or if you're going to, again, we talked about a true competition, apples to apples. You know, he gets to play with these starters and then this guy plays with the starters. So they're equal in what they face and what they're working with. So I'm wondering if that'll be the case in this next game.
We were talking about that, Lefko and I, before the show, but you would think so, right? You would think that you would want to get that look. And then, you know, maybe going into the third preseason game, you kind of want to put your starter out there and, you know, see what happens there. But, yeah, it didn't make it any clearer, that's for sure. I don't think you can make a decision right now, but you know, the coaches are probably looking at all kinds of things that we can't see. And, you know, some of the things that are said in the huddle, how the huddle's being run, how the offense is being run, the checks, things like that. You know, again, I thought of Ray Roberts because I spent the weekend with Ray out in Pittsburgh. And, you know, one of the things that he always says is, hey, look, it's not always the offensive lineman's fault. And heard it from a pretty good source that Drew Locke should have picked up that blitz. And really, if you go back and look at it,
I think Drew Locke said it himself, too.
Yeah, well, one of his, yeah, I won't say who it was. Anyway, it was it was just a really basic check that he needed to make. To me, it was just very muddy as far as who's the starter. And, you know, but the reason why I thought of Ray is because, you know, you'd think, oh, the offensive lineman should have blocked someone. No, I mean, you have to account for that guy on the end of the line if you're the quarterback. And then, you know, the running back went right past him and you thought, okay, maybe the running back should have picked him up. No, it was on Drew Locke, apparently. Yeah.
Well, and here's what Drew said about that after the game.
You know, I'll always be honest up here. I could have handled that better. Could have flipped the pro, could have played it hot. You know, as a quarterback, you're always able to fix those things. And, you know, I'll always take it on the chest, and I could have been better there.
Take it on the chest.
Went with a heapism.
Yeah. I like that. He's very humble, but I don't know. There's kind of a side of me that wants me to see him grab it by the throat and make it his. And, you know, I think I've been impressed by what both have said. But, yeah, that was it was nice that he recognized that part of it.
Here's what Pete said about that particular play.
We could have handled that better. I want to get clarification exactly what the call was up front, but it looked like it was a hide off the edge, and he needed to see it and didn't see it. But
I guess until then.
That's possibly what happened. I don't have the clarification yet on whether we made the call to pick it or not.
Yeah.
Sounds like they didn't.
Yeah, I think we got clarification. I love that Pete does that, though. I mean, he's always says, look, you've got to look at the film first and just make sure before you say something like that. But man, I don't know. I mean, these guys are looking at these plays over and over and over again, and I'm sure it told of them much more of a story than it told us. But if you're watching that game and you had to make the starter, and I'd be curious if have people text in on the Mac and Jack text line 866-979-3776.
There you go.
That's 866-979-3776. If you had to start one of those guys right now, who would it be? Drew Lock or Geno Smith?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really wanted there to be a clear, like, hey, Geno had a day, or Drew really had a day. I just wanted a clear distinction, but again, it's preseason game number one with very few starters and no gameplay. I mean, you have to keep all of that in mind and into account. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this second game, because I think you want to have your decision made by the third one. I don't think you want to, well, we got to see who shines in the third game and be like, that's not good.
It's a little late.
Yeah, so hopefully they're in that position to make that. But yeah, text that in. Who do you think should be the starter? Who looked better to you, I guess? Is there somebody you got more confidence in between the two? 866-979-3776. Text that into the Mac and Jack's text line. So we'll get into more Seahawks certainly as we continue throughout the day. But meanwhile, the Mariners, they dropped 2 of 3 to the Texas Rangers. And this was a series where we started looking at the rest of the schedule, going, they've got the easiest schedule in baseball. This is where you really make up ground while the AL East beats up on each other. You know, you got the Orioles and Blue Jays going back and forth and the Rays and all that. So it's just, it feels like an opportunity lost there, which can be made up. You just sweep one of these next two series.
Yeah.
Because the expectation, I think, at this point, when you're facing the Angels and you're facing the Rangers and teams like that, is you got to get 2 of 3. I understand it's a road trip, and it's still hard to win games on the road without question. But those are teams. I mean, I think the Rangers just fired Chris Woodward today. They just fired their manager.
Wow.
So that's a team that's wildly underachieving after spending a truckload of money in the offseason on Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. They're going nowhere, playing for nothing, although that stadium seemed remarkably loud. There was a lot of noise coming out of that crowd there. But, yeah, I mean, that's just a team you should beat. You should be able to take 2 of 3 from them, and 2 of 3 from the Angels, and so on when you're facing these teams, because you've got a precious few games left and everybody's bunched up around that wild card spot. You've got, what did I say, 46 games, I think, is what I put on the sheet last night, 48, 46, somewhere around there. You're running out of games, so you got to, if you can, extend the lead that you do have currently. And, you know, when you're pitching, there are two questions for me. Are we starting to see some fatigue with the starters and in the bullpen, because you saw the bullpen get touched up? I mean, Brash gave up a couple of runs. Murphy gave up a run in the game he pitched. Marco was terrible. Marco has not been good in 4 of his last 6 starts. As I told you in the notes, he's given up at least 5 earned runs in 4 of his last 6.
Well, and it seems like with Marco, he'll get touched up early. And then, you know, kind of steady the ship, and you go, okay, look, he came back in the second, third, fourth, fifth inning, whatever, and it's okay. But the damage has been done, you know, a couple of times. But, man, I'm looking at if this – you've got the 3 games against Los Angeles and 3 games at Oakland. We were talking about, what do you think is more important, those games or the ones against the Guardians? I feel like, you know, they've got a 4-game series against Cleveland coming up, and, you know, if they sweep that game, that's awesome, or even take 3 out of 4. But if you've lost 2 out of 3 to the Angels and 2 out of 3 to Oakland and Texas, it ruins the whole thing. So I'm just more worried about these kinds of teams. I feel like they always rise to the occasion when they play against good teams.
Yeah, they've just got to handle their business. In terms of which is more important, the head-to-head would always be that if they're on your heels, depending on where they're at in the standings at that particular time. But man, do yourself a favor and gain as much ground as you can with these other teams before you get to that series. Then it takes some of the heat off of that series of we've got to take three or we've got to try to sweep. We got to. I mean, that's always the goal. You're trying to win every one of them, certainly. But in terms of doing the math and, hey, we're only whatever the wherever they may be in the standings at that particular point, based on how they played against the previous two opponents, you just don't want to go into those games going, man, they really dropped the ball against the Angels and the A's and the Rangers. So now you got to take three or four of these, and against a good team like Cleveland, that becomes a much bigger ask. So it just, you know, help yourself out. So I'm wondering about the arms. You know, we saw Logan Gilbert look good. He didn't look great. He gave you a quality start, 3 runs, 6 innings, but not what we had seen from him earlier in the season. You're just wondering, is fatigue maybe setting in? Is it, you know, you're coming down to the home stretch here. And it would be nice to have an offense that could sort of pick up the slack for pitchers who may be scuffling a bit. Maybe they're soggy arm, Dave. Maybe they're soggy arms going on there. But the offense, it can't just be Ty France, Mitch Haniger, and Julio. The rest of these guys got to jump in. And I'm wondering, is Ty and Julio, are they completely healthy at this point? I mean, I don't know. They say they are, so I'll take their word. But man, you look at what these guys are doing in August. I mean, J.P. Crawford is hitting 184 in the month of August. You look at Gino Suarez hitting 195 in the month of August. Adam Frazier, who had a red-hot July, hit 314, is back to hitting 227 in the month of August. Winker hitting 231. I mean, these are the guys with resumes. These are the veterans. These are the guys that need to be able to chip in and pick up the slack when it can't just be those three guys.
Yeah, well, and you look at and then you look at Mitch Haniger. I mean, to your point, he's hitting 400 in the month August.
He's hit in every game since he's been back in the three prior to him leaving. So he's technically got a 10-game hitting streak going.
Yeah, and I think he's up to the number of games that he was at before he got hurt, at 9 games. Actually, he's at, the ninth one will be tonight, and that's how many games he played in the first part of the season. And he was hitting fairly well then. But, yeah, it's it just can't, like you said, it can't be those guys. They've got to get something from, you know, him, Sam Haggerty. I mean, just love what you're seeing from those guys. But, yeah, it was the 184 from JP is kind of surprising to me because, you know, he's kind of one of those guys that's clutch and comes up with hits at big moments. And right now, I just wonder what that team plan's like on the way back on the way to Los Angeles, and, you know, what they're talking about, and, you know, what they need to do to get things going.
Yeah, it's frustrating because these are teams you look at and go, okay, this is where they really start to widen the gap, and maybe they can get 12, 13, 14 games over 500, and they really just sort of take off. Now, just looking at their record from last year, they're still 1 game ahead of their pace from last year after, what are they at, 116, I think, they've played. So you're 190 last year, just comparing the pace of the two seasons. Now, we talked about the idea that it feels like it's going to take more than 90 to get in there. We'll see how these teams beat up on each other down the stretch, but it just, as we sit, it feels like you've got to at least match, if not surpass, what you did in terms of a win total last year to get there. May not end up being true, but right now that's how it feels. And that's what makes a series like this feel so bad. You just look at it and go, ugh, what was that? I mean, you had some errors out there. The defense let you down. The bullpen let you down. The starters weren't great. And then the offense was spotty at best. So it was just kind of a full, it wasn't one element. It wasn't, oh, it was a terrible defense. The pitching was great. Hitting was great. No, it was everybody kind of chipped into why it was lousy.
Yeah, I watched both the games that they lost, and I don't know, it was just like the magic was gone. There wasn't any, you know, clutch hits or, you know, big moments or guys smile. It was just, I don't know. Like I said, I think it'll be really interesting to hear, you know, maybe down the road that this was the point where they were like, hey guys, we gotta, you know, have the come to Jesus meeting here and get back to playing the way that they were playing.
Yeah, it just, I love that it's, everything means so much that we're watching, at least I'm watching every moment of these games, just in the outcome feels so heavy, you know, or feels great when they win. It's awesome. When they lose, it feels like it means so much more. And that's the beauty of the wild card being added. It's so many more teams are now involved and have a stake in what's going on. So that part of it is great as a baseball fan. But yeah, you lament these moments. You look at them and go, come on, man. 2 of 3 from the Rangers. I mean, this team's a disaster. As I said, they just fired Chris Woodward. you know, it's just a team you feel like even on the road, you got to get two of those.
Yeah.
You had to get two of those. And Marco didn't help you. And then, you know, he got off to a rough start. He gave up, Gino had the throwing error, which cost him a run. It felt like, ugh. And then Penn Murphy came in. He gave up a run. And then Brash yesterday gave up two runs. So it was the bullpen. It was the starters. It was the offense. It was kind of defense. A little bit of everything contributed to this.
Yeah. Before we get to take two, pretty overwhelmingly pro Drew Lock on the text. One person said, "Hey, you didn't trade for Drew Lock to put him as a backup." And I'm like, "They didn't really trade for Drew Lock. That was part of what was,
just part of the package.
Part of the package. But a lot of people like Drew Lock. I think most of it has to do with, we've seen what Geno Smith can do. But I feel like Geno's gotten better.
All right, let's take two.
Well, Seahawks are off today, but yeah, they made the trade. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reports that the Seahawks are sending Ugo Amadi to the Eagles in exchange for wide receiver and tight end, who is, he's played both, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Loved Ugo.
Arcega?
That's how it's pronounced, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's the size of a tight end, but understand they're going to try to use him as a receiver. I think he switched to tight end.
Yeah, according to Bob Condotta's tweet. Excuse me.
Yeah, so I'm... Ugo Amadi had a play in that game that was kind of typical of Ugo Amadi and what he's done. I think it was a 2-point conversion, or it was a touchdown throw on the 3-yard line, and he was just way too far off of the player. Comes up, makes the tackle, but it's too late. He scored, and he was always kind of off a little bit. Great kid, love that kid. We were talking about he was an award winner. What was it again? The Lombardi Award, Lefko, that you were talking about.
Who?
Yeah, Ugo Amadi. Yeah, he won the Lombardi Award, which in college...
He looks confused.
I was talking about it.
Oh, maybe it was Stecker.
He's giving you a blank look right now.
Are they the same?
It was Stecker.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was saying your guy, Arcega Whiteside's from Stanford.
Yeah, he's a Stanford guy.
Yeah, I'm curious what this acquisition means. Like, do they feel like we've got a need? We need help either at tight end or receiver. And again, Bob Condotta's tweet saying he's going to play receiver in terms of what he's been told. So... I mean, you've obviously got your top two guys in DK and Tyler. Hopefully, D. Eskridge is going to be part of the equation moving forward. You've got Swain. Bo Melton looked good in this game. It's an interesting acquisition. I don't have a problem with the trade. It's just I'm curious how they feel about that position group.
Well, the Rangers send Chris Woodward out a winner. They announced today they are firing him after 4 seasons. All of them will end with a losing record. And this is the second team that has played a series against the Mariners and then fired their manager. The Blue Jays did that with Charlie Montoya earlier this year.
Yeah, the Blue Jays went on a tear after that.
Yeah, they did.
So I don't know if that'll happen for the Rangers. I think they're pretty much out of this. But interesting on the heels of a series win against a team that's contending, a team that's ahead of you in your own division. And you take 2 of 3 and all right, you're out of here. Not saying that, I don't know what the word is around there, how they feel about him, that he's doing a poor job, underachieving. I don't know. All I know is that team spent a lot of money in the offseason and they have not gotten the results.
No, and the Blue Jays, you can understand why their skipper got fired. They lost 3 out of 4. Maybe they were even swept by Kansas City. And that's when Kansas City had a whole bunch of unvaccinated players I don't even know if they had a starting catcher. They went up there and beat. Whereas this one, you're going, I wonder, there must be something going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Coming up, Dave has so much to complain about that we had to move this segment up in the show. So maybe it's what's bugging Dave today. Maybe that's what we're doing. We'll find out. Coming up, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
What's bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's bugging Bob.
Well, typically there's no shortage of things that are bothering me.
What do you got? You got nothing?
I don't really have anything, man. It was a great weekend.
You went to the comedy show, Adam Ray?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Lefko thought it was going to be a roast of him. He was surprised his name was not up on the marquee. The roast of my Lefko. There was not a word mentioned about him on stage.
Hey, did I see you've got like a little badge back there with your picture on it? That was somewhere in the studio there?
You're confusing him today. He's looking at you like you're speaking Spanish.
This badge that we use to get into the building?
Yeah. Oh, I think it was a different one I saw.
His is different than ours. Okay. Ours have a much smaller picture.
His is different.
His I'm a giant security face. Risk, as they say in the office.
It looks like McLovin's.
His license?
His driver's license.
Yeah.
McLovin. Are you an organ donor? Age 22?
22-year-old from Hawaii.
It's called strategy, you idiot.
So, yeah, I didn't have anything made. I mean, it bugged me that the Mariners played the way they did, but we just covered that. So I think this should be today's version should be what's bugging Dave, because I think you've got more gripes.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. No, look, it was my fault. I should have got on the website earlier and tried to upgrade to first class or something, but I walked into the plane, and there was like four or five Seattle media people in first class, and they were all pointing at me and laughing.
Really?
And so in front of the entire first class area, which some people I didn't know, I looked at Rabel and everybody and I said, oh, bleep you.
Was Rabel in first class?
Yeah.
Big shot.
And they all laughed and there was a lot of people that sort of frowned at me. But
but you got an aisle seat.
Yeah, I got an aisle seat. But then there's a guy sitting next to me that is my, and this goes back to Lefko with the, the whole middle seat thing that you get the armrest no matter what. No. That's not the case. I'm sorry. So I was like sitting, like leaning out. But I'm sorry. Those seats just are not big enough.
No.
They're just not big enough.
No. They here's were another, made when people were smaller.
Yeah. And here's another thing. Also, you go back and look in the exit row, and there's always some like 5 foot five, 130-pound person sitting
whose
there.
Whose feet are barely
the
touching the ground.
Yeah. Their feet can't touch. I feel like you should be able to get.
Their feet are dangling over the edge.
Or there's a little kid there or something like that. Yeah. Of course, they can't be in the exit row. But it was a little bit. So I was sitting like with my hands together in between my knees, like leaning out towards the aisle. And then every flight attendant hits you in the shoulder.
Yep.
And they don't care because they're like, you're not supposed to be in the aisle. And that's fine. So
you get hit by every flight attendant. You get hit by every passenger going back to the bathroom. You get hit by the cart.
The cart. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I am a veteran aisle seat guy. Yeah. So, and like you, I don't want to touch anybody. So I tend to lean into the aisle, but then basically, everybody's butt is rubbing up against your shoulder.
Yeah, I don't like that either. There was a dude for an extended period of time that he had his butt on my shoulder. I'm like, all right, let's move it along.
Yeah. Nobody wins in that scenario.
You know what's kind of interesting is that now they used to be like the big iron curtain that they close first class off to kind of let everybody else know that you're not really allowed up there.
Yeah.
Now it's like a see-through thing. So I think it's a little more sensitive, maybe.
You can glare at the people up front.
Yeah. Exactly.
You see like Seinfeld up there with Sundays and everything. More of this, more of everything.
More anything, more everything. Yeah, that's what it was like.
What is going on back there?
Yep.
You're in the back causing a ruckus because there's a big guy sitting next to you in the middle seat and everybody's rubbing their butt up against your shoulder and you're getting smashed by the drink cart.
Here's the thing that pissed me off the most, though, and this has happened to me the last two times I've gone to the airport. So you go in that first area where it's all Alaska flights, and there's a security line right next to the ticketing. Mm-hmm. And, it looked like a pretty long line. The lady standing out there goes, go down to checkpoint two. Is it faster down there? It's way faster. Checkpoint two was like 300 yards away, first of all. And then I get down there. It was way longer. Like, I didn't think I was going to make my flight. Bob,
did you want to go back to checkpoint one and yell at her?
Yes, I did. And there was another lady that was with me, and I was like, hey, we got screwed on this deal. And she was like, yeah, this is ridiculous. I barely had time to get a shot of whiskey down at the gate time I got there.
That's a travesty.
Yeah, ridiculous. You got to medicate yourself for
those
flights.
People don't understand what you have to go through.
No, that one really does bother me because I don't know what they're trying to do with that. Like, I guess they're trying to help you, but, I mean, I've been led astray the last two times I went to the airport. So if you ever ask that person or if anybody ever says that when you go to check in right in the very first part, and that's where Alaska is, don't believe them.
Yeah.
They're leading you astray.
Can you just go, nah, I'm going to stay at checkpoint one.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
No problem.
I'm going to stay right here. I got my shoes off already. Ready to go through X-ray.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. Like I said earlier, the biggest coup ever was the fact that I was able to get my ticket from the website into my Apple Wallet.
Now, how much complaining or stress did you have prior to that, though? Were you like, oh, my God, we got to do this again? Because you had a negative experience with some tickets going to Climate Pledge.
Yeah.
We couldn't get them read.
You were there.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it.
Bob, it happened to me, right? I mean, I wasn't doing anything wrong.
No, it was all legit, except you were trying to show the guy that was about a block away from us your phone, saying, is this a parking pad? Where is this parking at?
Bob, he saw it. He saw it and waved me down there. But then, shortly after that, I went to a Mariner game, or maybe it was, I don't know, a couple of months. But anyway, I went to one, and the guy also, he was like, yeah, I don't see where it is. I see that you have a ticket, but it's not showing up. So both of those were not my fault.
Those were legit. Those weren't old guy problems. Those were technical problems, I guess.
The thing that bothered me is that Rabel's the one that was chastising me for not having and Rabel's like 107 years old. And he was
calling
one.
You boomer.
Yeah.
He's okay,
like, what's
boomer?
The matter with you? Why don't you down? Like, he goes, why would you have to go in and print out the ticket? I'm like, why wouldn't I?
What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
So, he's disgusted with you.
That bothered me.
Now, do you get, I haven't been on a plane since the pandemic.
Yeah.
So has anything changed? Do they still give you food or a little packet of peanuts or what do you get there?
Yeah. Well, you know what? With Alaska, I think you have to order it or something. And, you know,
so you get a snack?
I got a snack, but it was just like some almonds that tasted like wood chips.
Mm.
Yeah. And then, but no, Alaska's awesome. I mean, shoot, they got the cheese and fruit plate, but, you know, typically. And then, you know, the flight attendants, Alaska's awesome. You know, obviously we love Alaska, but I think now you have to pre-order or something in order to get like the cheese and fruit plates. It seemed like everybody was in the know except for me.
You.
Yeah. Everybody knew what was going on.
Were you in the back? Were you weren't sitting next to the bathroom, were you?
No, I wasn't.
That's always a lose. That's you lost.
Yeah. Hey, I was just happy not to be in a middle seat because it was totally sold out.
Really?
Yeah. But you know, Jen Mueller, like, okay, I'm going through the security line and I'm just sweaty and aggravated. And she's like, oh, I'm in the lounge sipping a champagne because she's got like the, you know, Alaska
frequent flyer.
Yeah. In the boardroom or whatever. Yeah. Then I get on the plane and there she's sitting in first class. And then on the way back, I go, did you get first class? She's like, no, I wasn't able to get it. I got in the exit row. And I go back. She has an exit row on the window. Nobody sitting next to her. It was the only empty seat in the entire plane. And I'm like, Mueller.
Yeah, and she's not tall. She doesn't need the exit row. Yeah. Come on.
I'm sure she thought it was just a lovely flight.
Oh, boy. All right, there you go. Today's version of What's Bugging Bob was What's Bugging Dave. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up, Kurt Casale has experience catching Luis Castillo, and he's going to join us next. Talk about that and everything else going on with the Mariners. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
All right, so we got a little scheduling change here. Kurt Casale was scheduled to join us in this segment, but apparently there's a catcher's meeting going on. So we will talk to him later in the show, maybe.
You think Scott's part of that?
I don't know how that works in baseball.
Scott was a catcher.
You're right. He was. I don't know how that goes.
He's also a Packer fan, like our friend Kerry.
Well, we still like him. We still like him.
And Kerry too.
Yeah. Kerry's a longtime coworker here. Now she works remotely. She lives on the East Coast now. But a diehard Packer fan.
Yeah, but not that big of a Packer fan.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. How we started talking to her about Aaron Rodgers and his, you know, Blue of Earth girlfriend or Blue of the Earth or whatever the hell her name is, and she looked at us like we were speaking a different language, like, what in the hell are you talking about? And then we told her, and that's his real name? Or that's her real name? What? Just completely out of the loop on Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend and his whole ayahuasca journey and, you know, a thousand hands touching him and his self-forgiveness and all of that. She was completely out of the loop.
Blue of Earth, and blue is spelled B-L-U.
Yeah, Blue of Earth, yeah. I don't know how you call yourself a Packer fan and an Aaron Rodgers fan. You're not familiar with any of that. How does that work? No, it's good to see Kerry though. But So anyway, we'll hopefully catch up with somebody from the Mariners later on in the show. Meanwhile, who else? We talked about the quarterback battle in this first preseason game, and again, keeping in mind preseason, no game planning, a lot of starters out, so hard to tell, you know, who's really doing well because they're really doing well, or is it more about who they're going up against or who they're not going up against, all of that. But, you know, to me, I thought the group of running backs looked good. Yeah. DJ Dallas looked good. Travis Homer looked fast. Had a couple of nice plays out there. Walker looked good. So just as a group, I thought they looked pretty good. What was your take on the running back?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. And especially when I went back and watched it, because like the one drive, and Travis Homer didn't have like eye-popping numbers or anything, but like DJ Dallas had 90 yards and a touchdown, but Travis Homer had 41 yards rushing, and then he had 33 yards pass receiving, and it seemed like they were all on the same drive.
Yeah, he had that drive where it was just all him,
and yeah.
It seemed like it was just huge chunk after huge chunk.
Yeah, and by the way, I was looking at, you know, somebody was complaining about the play call at the end where, you know, Drew Lock gets sacked. There was a draw play on to Homer that was really, like, beautifully executed, and it was, like, right at the right time. Because a lot of times I know in long distance, you know, down in distance, people complain about the draw play. But the way it was called, it was like, you know, I was saying on the broadcast, there's, like, an art to calling plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Mike Holmgren, like, he was like an artist, you know, with the plays, you know, just catching a defense off guard. And, you know, just that one draw play to Travis Homer was just beautifully executed, called at the right time, everything. Yeah, so I thought you're right. Running backs, I mentioned earlier that Ken Walker ran over Akilah Witherspoon, and I think he concussed him. They took him off the field, but that kid looked really tough. You know, some of the run game, I mean, I didn't – at the end of the game, there wasn't a lot of negative, you know, or stuffed – runs. I mean, mm-hmm. It seemed like everything was going for at least 4, 5, 6 yards. So, yeah, that was good. And, you know, I thought also that indicated the fact that the offensive tackles can run block.
I thought they did. I thought Lucas did a nice job in run blocking.
Yeah.
I thought Cross looked good.
Cross did look good.
I'm trying to keep it all. I don't want to get too excited. Like, man, this line looks really good because you keep,
no TJ Watt.
And, yeah, you're not going up against their monsters over there. And again, it's backups versus backups in a lot of cases, or starters versus backups. So take it for what it is. But it's certainly much better than, hey, Lucas got his brains beaten in, or he was a turnstile, or Cross was a turnstile.
Yeah.
No, I thought the line looked pretty good for the most part. I walked away feeling pleased with what they did out there.
Yeah, I thought so too. And you look at Charles Cross. The one of the things about him, our first round pick out of, is it Mississippi State? Yeah. He's able to recover from a bad step really quickly. Mm-hmm. He's really good at that. And then, you know, they really like Abraham Lucas. They think he is just one of those guys that I remember in listening to the press conference before when they do the production meeting, that they were talking about his attitude and how he just loves football. So, yeah, those two guys, that looked really good. That was one thing that where you're like, okay, this is a good part of this team so far anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and I watched TJ Watt come out with his helmet, and I'm like, that's as much running as he's going to do tonight.
Yeah.
You know, and their Cam Hayward, you know, all of their big guns weren't playing, but it was the same thing for the Seahawks.
Yeah. Yeah, another guy that popped that I saw a lot of people tweeting about and seemed excited about was Boye Mafe in the sack he had on fourth down late in the game.
So here we go. If the Seahawks can hold the Steelers here on fourth down and less than a yard, Pickett goes under center. Play fake. Pickett being chased by Boye Mafe. Still being chased. He gets to him. Mafe, the rookie, gets to the rookie quarterback, drags him down back inside midfield, and now the Seahawks are going to have a chance to win this one instead of it going to overtime. Boye Mafe, with an explosive move to the sidelines, makes the tackle on the sack, and the Seahawks get the ball in Pittsburgh territory.
Man, that was... I'm surprised that I didn't go, ooh, 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 or something like that there. But that was a beautiful, the way he beat the edge, you know, he used kind of a rip, got himself around the corner, kind of a rip with the inside arm. And then the way he turned that corner, and, you know, and I have to say, like, Daryl Taylor
yeah.
was
Turner's catching passes somewhere.
Yeah, that was a guy that, he was really mean to me my rookie year.
Was he?
Daryl Turner, yeah. It was because I brought in bad donuts. Anyway, I thought Daryl Taylor was, he wasn't as sharp. I mean,
No.
There was a couple things that he missed. He missed some tackles and
missed
stuff.
Missed a sack.
So, Yeah, he spun out of a sack. I mean, there was a lot of that. So, and Mafe, he looked like he was the one thing I say about Daryl Taylor is that he's raw and he needs to be a little bit stingier with like leaning into a guy, stingy with the space is what I call it. I saw that from Boye Mafe. I mean, he looked like a big league pass rusher. And, you know, the comparisons to Cliff Avril I'd heard about, I think he's a little bit more stout. You know, I think Cliff was maybe more lean, but the way that he came on that sack and chopped with his arm, I mean, that was Cliff Avril right there.
A quick one before the break from Pete Carroll on that particular sack.
A great stop by Boye Mafe on a beautiful play. Almost spoiled the Kenny Pickett night of nights. We're really glad to take part in that. He did a great job, and I know their fans had a great time with that. But that was a great play by Mafe and gave us a chance, you know, to come back and win a football game.
I can really relate to Pete kind of wandering off to other subjects. I really enjoy that.
I like these
night of nights. Well, I think, you know, he was just going, man, I mean, that place went nuts for Pickett.
They were chanting his name.
Oh, my God.
They were chanting his name in a preseason game.
And Trubisky came in and actually did pretty well.
Yeah, he looked all right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he threw that one to the corner where
it was a nice pull.
Kobe Bryant got beat. So, yeah, it was funny that he kind of wandered off on that. But, yeah, that was a big-time sack, man. He came all the way from the other side.
All right, reminder, this hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up, Ryan Roland-Smith will join us, weigh in on what we saw against the Rangers, what we're going to see against this Angels team coming up. That's happening next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.